on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk and former Giants punter Jeff Fiegels with you. Getting ready for Giants and the Falcons coming your way at 1 p.m. at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. Good afternoon, everybody. A big game for the Giants trying to go over 500 for the first time, believe it or not, since 2012. Jeff, good afternoon.
What's
and
up,
now
Johnny?
It's just about keeping it going for this team. They've had some progress for a couple more weeks, but you know what? Something that's plagued this team for a few years now, even going back to your final seasons, is consistency. Can this team get consistent and win three straight games?
Well, I think at the beginning of the season, we were asking that question. We didn't see any consistency those first two games, but I think the last couple games, we've seen a lot of consistency out of the offense, the defense, the consistency being against the Arizona Cardinals, where they were to consistently be able to come up with some turnovers. Last week's game against Washington, they consistently came up with turnovers. Now you got to go into this week and get some turnovers again. And, you know, to a banged up Atlanta team, everybody's saying, oh, they're just going to, you know, this is a rough week for Atlanta. They're a professional football team, John. You know this. They're going to come in. They're going to be able to play football. But, hey, not look ahead. Try to be consistent. Get three wins in a row and then head in. We can tell you. We can say who they're playing next week, right? They're
going to
play the Eagles next week.
But then Dallas after that, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So they got – but, hey, one at a time, the old cliche. I know everybody gets tired of it.
No doubt about it. And we'll get into this matchup in just a bit. We'll take your calls also at 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, we'll monitor at hashtag Giants chat. But before we break down the Falcons, they're hurt. The Giants, on the other hand, they're getting healthy. Everybody practiced this week. John Beeson, Odell Beckham, Steve Weatherford, Devon Kennard. And the one player all Giant fans are excited to get back on the practice field and on the game field on Sunday is Odell Beckham Jr. He'll probably be limited as a wide receiver, but one place he can certainly step in and do damage right away is on special teams. And when he was drafted special teams coordinator, Feig's old guy, Tom Quinn, is very excited.
You ready for an exciting soundbite?
You can hear it in his voice. He's very excited to have Odell Beckham Jr. back on the field.
When he was coming out of college, I thought he had running back-like run skills in a receiver's body. You know, so he was able to get vertical and, you know, good elusiveness. So that's kind of stood out in addition to the speed, playmaking ability. You know, I don't know what his responsibilities will come game day. I'm sure that's all we'll be ironed out in the next few days. But he's ready. You know, he's been attentive in meetings and good on the practice field.
Well, and that's the question, Jeff. What do you think his role is going to be? How much is he going to do on offense? How much is he going to do on specials? Or is he really going to be more of an observer than a participant on Sunday? What do you think?
I think the answer is to get him into the game special teams-wise a little bit. I honestly don't think you're going to see him returning kicks. I think that's a little bit too aggressive getting him back in the national football, his first game, okay? But, you know, maybe that's that running down the field, his hamstring.
I was going to say, what's your primary concern? Mentally prepared for that or him maybe popping a string trying to be too fast on
a return? I think it goes hand to hand. I think that mentally he's like, you know, hey, can I go on this? But I think get him in some special team. Get him some cover and some kicks. They're going to sprinkle him in on the offense a little bit. I think that he's probably, like Tom had said, he's been in the, you know, he's sharpened the playbook. But you know how that correlates onto the field. This guy's, when he crosses that white line to get on the field, he has not seen a National Football League speed yet. And that's going to be the biggest thing for him to watch out for is how fast these things are going. So you want a guy like that, you don't want him to come into the game and try to do too much to try to impress his teammates and his coaches because he hasn't been out there. But the fact is, get him a little sprinkling here and there, and they're going to try to get him in the offense in a way that, you know, to make him comfortable, maybe catch a couple passes. We all want to see the deep ball. That's kind of what we've all been waiting to see.
Well, need someone to stretch the field a little
bit.
Let's be honest. The Giants only have one pass completed over 30 yards this year, and that was a run after the catch by Cruz on that slant.
And we all know that, listen, when Ben McAdoo was here before Odell Beckham was drafted, so the plan was to get a speedster, and they went out and got Odell Beckham, and they said, okay, you know what, you're going to be our guy, and then unfortunately he got hurt. So now, if you're Ben McAdoo and you're watching the way that offense is progressing and how they're starting to play, this is going to start to feel good now that you have your guy there that constructs the field.
And by the way, I got to ask you, Tom Quinn is the guy that's on the practice field, is louder than anybody.
Oh, he's got a huge voice.
But when you get him in front of a camera, it's like you have Jack Bauer in the basement of CTU trying to get like state secrets out of the guy.
I love Tom Quinn to death.
You're a broadcaster. You should talk to him.
I tell you what, he's very cerebral, as you can kind of get idea of
no
that.
Question. He's a good coach.
He reminds me a little bit of a Bill Belichick. He doesn't give you much, but he's a good coach, and I just don't think he likes the spotlight like not many special team coaches do. But I don't think he particularly really wants the spotlight this week when they're playing Devon Hester.
That's a good point.
You know,
point.
He doesn't want to be answered the question, and I know we'll be talking about him later in the program, but I think that he is a good coach. I think he has good philosophies, and he just has to get those six teams that he coaches to get to play on a great level.
And from two guys that are follically challenged, he is a heck of a head of hair, that guy.
Oh, I'm telling you. But he's, you know what? Over the years, I've seen that hair develop. Like, we lose our hair.
Yeah.
He's gotten a lot more gray hair. That's for sure.
201-939-4503. One other player the Giants are happy to get back on the field is John Beeson. He missed last week and basically, I would say, half of the game before re-aggravating that foot and toe injury. So John Beeson's going to be back on the field. Why is he having so much trouble getting back from this injury? Is he going to be 100%? Let's listen to the Giants middle linebacker.
We didn't have the surgery, so the scarring was actually the repair, if that makes sense. So there's pain there, but not as much pain as the first time when it was a soft tissue injury. So you break the scar tissue, so now I have a lot of play in my toe. Initially, it's the pain, but then once the pain, you know, subsides a little bit, now it's about, you know, how does the toe function? And the big toe is everything. You know, it's weight-bearing, you pivot, you plant on it, you push against another man when you tackle somebody, you take on a block. So it's huge.
I'm going to translate here, Jeff. To me, this means he's going to be battling this thing all year, and quite frankly, it's probably going to limit him all year. The guy fractured the part of his foot and toe that is the most important for any athlete to cut, push off, and sprint. This thing ain't going to be 100% till 2015.
And, you know, the 10 days that he got off, or actually he didn't even play it. Did he play in the Washington game?
He did not play in Washington, but he played the week before. He had to leave midway through the contest.
So, you know, this time off has helped him.
Right.
But I think that a lot of times in an injury like you had mentioned where it's that type of you know, your foot, this is football, you're running around. I think that being on the artificial turf sometimes can hurt you.
And he actually said that being on turf isn't helpful, and they've been switching cleats in and out to try to get a better feel for the foot.
But you got to believe that this is going to nag him the whole year. But, you know, I think that even if he can get on that field and line those guys up, he's such an important part of that defense and his leadership on the field. If he has to come out of some plays and, you know, McClain's able to move around there, we'd hope that the Kennard can get back there and play. But John Beeson brings a lot more to that team, even when he's off the field.
Yep.
And I mean, like, in this building, he's holding meetings for guys saying, hey, we're going to go over this and that. He's the ultimate leader that defense, and we're coming up on – you know, it was almost a little bit over less than a year ago that he came here. And you look at the way the Giants played and turned around their season when he got here, it shows you how important he is to that defense.
No doubt about it. Devon Kennard, another linebacker coming back from that hamstring. Giants to hope to have him back on the field as well. And that Giant defense will be operating against a very banged up Atlanta Falcons offensive line. And I had to print it out because there are names here that, boy, no one knows these
names. You need
names,
the enunciation?
Okay?
So, too?
You know, I might. But right now, based on where the Falcons were at the start of the year, they're basically going to be missing four starting offensive linemen in this game. It's a mess. It doesn't look like Justin Blaylock, their starting left guard, is going to be able to go. He hasn't practiced all week. We'll see if he manages to go today. Jake Matthews, who was supposed to be their right tackle, is playing left tackle because Baker tore up his knee the first week of the year. They lost their center, Hawley, last week. They lost their right tackle last week. So it looks like Harlan Gunn, who they brought up off the practice squad, will replace Blaylock at left guard. Gabe Karimi, who was struggling at guard, is now going to play right tackle. Peter Kahn's, a second-round pick last year, who got benched because he wasn't playing good enough, is going to start at center for them. And Asamoah, it will be their right guard. He's their only starter left at the same position he was supposed to play at. Jeff, this thing's a damn mess.
Well, it kind of reminds me of maybe when we came into training camp with the Giants.
A little bit.
This is what the offensive line was looking like.
And last year with the Giants.
And last year just all over the place.
No question.
So you understand that when you lose four of the guys that are supposed to be starting for you. But look at this, okay? I'm gonna look at the bright side of it. And in fact, from just a matchup standpoint, is that this is a high powered offense.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so but the integral part is the offensive line. So to think that they can just plug guys in and think that this offense is going to go off and be crazy is, I think, is wrong. The fact is they do have weapons, but this offensive line, as we've talked about, John, over and over on our show and the pregame and everything, is how important it is for the offensive line to gel as a group. When you start putting these guys and piecemealing them in, and as Paul DiTino would say, the musical chairs game, it doesn't bode well for that consistency and that line play on Sunday for the Falcons.
And Mike Tice is a good coach, but he's going to have his work cut out for him this week.
Absolutely.
And we asked JPP about it. What did he say? He doesn't care about those offensive line problems.
The offensive line banged up, that's not our problem. You know, our problem is to stop the running and get to the quarterback and get off third downs off the field and give our offense a chance to win and get on the field and produce points. That's our job.
You know, Jeff, I think the question I want to ask you now, obviously the Giants are going to do what they're going to do. They've actually, I think, the last couple weeks done a pretty darn good job of getting pressure on the quarterback. I think they've done a better job than a lot of people thought they would do so far this year.
Especially JPP.
No question. And Robert Ayers, I think, has been a real good rotational pass rusher. Can the Falcons adjust their offense here? Obviously, you can't do it completely, and you're going to limit yourself. To get rid of the ball quicker, they like to run a lot of those quick screens. They like to run the slants to Julio Jones with the size. Can they adjust their offense to make it more of a quick strike, quick pass offense, frankly, like the Giants have used this year, to try to cover up some of their offensive line problems?
I think they have no choice. I really, whether they can or they can't, I think they have no choice, John. I think they have to do it. And so where do we start? Shotgun, you know, one just right, boom, boom. And I think it's important for the defense to be able to understand that that's where they're going to go. Because, listen, we all know they're not going to get Matty Ice to get his 5- and 7-step drop. He's not going to do that. They have no time to do that, so you're going to be expecting the quick passing game. And then the linebackers and corners and safeties are going to have to understand that ball is going to be out of there quick and that the safeties are going to have to make tackles and that the linebackers are going to have to lock up quickly on those crossing routes. I think they can adjust, but it's certainly not going to be the same offense that they've been running. It is high-powered with Roddy White and Julio Jones and Devin Hester. But still, they're going to have to adjust to it, but the Giants are going to adjust to it too because this is the matchup. As we look at it every week, you know, where can I match up the best to get the greatest advantage, and it's going to be that defensive line putting pressure and getting on those just this offensive line. You did a great job, by the way. I'm not even going to try to announce some of these names, but the
Cameron
fact,
Bradfield, Ryan Schrader,
Momo,
a couple of guys.
Okay. So
excellent.
Anyways, you know how difficult I have with names.
Yes,
you know
that.
So, and you guys catch me with that every week.
And by the way, you mentioned all these weapons the Falcons have on offense. They got guys, playmakers. Harry Douglas, we'll see if he goes or not. But Roddy White, hamstring, still a pro receiver. Julio Jones is a weapon. The guys that are going to have to slow him down are in the secondary, including Giants cornerback Prince and Mukamara.
Disrupt the wide receivers, whether we're in cover two or whether we're in press man. Just disrupt that timing. And of course, like you said, like the pass rush, I feel like our guys up front have been getting the job done, and I think they're going to continue doing so.
Well, Jeff, and he said it, and I want to ask you this question. Do you think the Giants will run more of that cover two where they're punching at the line of scrimmage with the defensive backs, more tight man-to-man bump and run, where they're not letting the guys get clean releases, because the Falcons are probably going to run more of this short passing game stuff?
I do, and I think the way that Demps played last week, I think he gave that defense a little bit more than I think Perry Fuel thought. They like his speed. They like his aggressiveness. You got Antrell Roll back there. I mean, these are two guys that can play cover two real well, and it's just going to go. It's going to go with what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Press these guys. Don't let them get off the line of scrimmage. Let those defensive linemen get in there and get pressure on Matty Ice. I think we can write up the game plan. Where is this? We'll just send it right down to the corner here. We'll be fine.
If they're listening to us, they got problems.
Well, yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, but we can talk about it at least, you know. But I think that's going into the game. I think that's certainly a good point. I think that they're going to have to lock up these receivers at the line of scrimmage. And listen, you know, Cromartie and Prince have got to be physical. Prince isn't the tallest and biggest guy, but we know Cromartie's a tall, big guy. He's got to be physical on these guys. But I have a lot of faith in these two corners that they can match up well with these guys.
By the way, one thing we haven't mentioned is the Falcons' running attack. Now, there's a reason. They're last in yards rushing per game in the NFL at 77.9 yards per game. At the same time, they're averaging 4.8 yards per carry. So when they run it, they're good at it. Teams are playing the pass against them. It opens up the running attack. Giants running linebacker, Jamil McClain, talked about the different talents of the Falcons running backs and how they can pose a problem for this Giants defense?
I see talent. You know, I see talent. I see speed. You know, I see they have a variety of running backs who all have completely different styles, and they really can get after it. All of them have experience, you know, and their receivers, you know, we all know what their receivers are capable of. And a quarterback, you know, that's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. You know, so I see a talented team all together, and I'm sure that's what you guys see too.
Yeah, we do, Jamil. And the running backs for the Falcons, Steven Jackson, the vet, more of a power guy. Jacquizz Rodgers, a very quick guy that catches some passes, big play guy. Antoine Smith off the bench has been a big play guy this year. He has a 50-yard touchdown reception earlier this year. And then Devontae Freeman's the wild card, the young kid out of Florida State who was there. Second or third round draft pick this year. I think he might have been a third rounder. And he's a guy that can come in and be a pace changer. So they do have a variety of running backs here that the Giants are going to have to deal with.
They put a lot of guys in there, and their personnel that comes in, the defense has got to be aware of it. You know, you look at that, that's a crazy statistic, 4.8 yards a carry.
You wouldn't think based on their total yards.
No, absolutely. But what tells you that is the fact that there's some big plays in the running game that they're making. You know, so defensively, you've got to be able to, as a linebacking position, to be able to really watch out for that play-action pass and do a good job of not committing on the play-action. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're thrown over the top.
All right, ready to take some phone calls, Jeff?
Yeah, love it.
Let's get them on at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll take your calls until just before 1 o'clock. Then Coach Coughlin will speak to the media, and the players will talk in the locker room as you get you ready for Giants and Falcons on Sunday from MetLife Stadium. Giants trying to go 3-2 and get above 500 for the first time
in a while.
Since 2012. It's been a while, folks. 201-939-4513. Mike is in Dumont. He's up next. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everyone doing?
Mike, doing great. Thanks for holding, pal.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, no problem. Hey, Jeff, you know, I'm a big fan. Enjoyed watching you, your Giants career. Also enjoyed watching some of your sons play up here in North Jersey football. So,
wow, getting the kick on the Suns.
I like it.
How about
I
that?
Like it.
That's, you know, that's how you get on Eagles' good side right there.
Exactly right. I love what people that can get out there and watch a little high school football, right?
Absolutely. I love it. You know, you guys hit on it already, but a little bit further, I mean, the Falcons are pretty banged up.
Yeah.
They're starting center, starting right tackle out for the year. Their left tackle is gone and now is manned by a rookie, Matthews, who's solid but still a rookie.
Still a rookie.
And now I didn't know, but you guys were saying that the guard, the left guard is
Yeah, Justin
out.
Blaylock had to leave the game last week with a lower back injury. He has not practiced yet this week, so right now it doesn't look like he's going to play. Remember, last week, too, they lost their center and their right tackle to season-ending injury, so their offensive line is a disaster area right now.
They had their tight end. Was it Levine Tololo?
Yeah, playing right tackle.
Playing right tackle,
oh, yeah.
Number 80.
That's how bad it was.
you don't want to see the tight end pass blocking for you. No, that's not a good – so that's like four-fifths of their starting offensive
yeah,
line coming
out. Yeah,
are decimated, not to mention Harry Douglas, I think, is hurting, and yep. Roddy White is still not 100%.
Yep.
So, I mean, JPP and Kiwi and Jenkins and the fellas, I mean, they got to pin their ears back and just this is the game that just go off and pad those stats and have a good time. You know, I am a little, you know, you always got to be frightened with, Julio Jones and Roddy White and Matty Ice, but, I mean, this – they don't like playing in open-air stadiums. They don't.
Mike, and they also struggle on the road. And here's the good thing, too. Think of it this way. With that offensive line banged up, you shouldn't have to blitz this week. You should be able to allow your front four to get there, and then you leave your safeties deep to prevent guys from Julio Jones from making the big play. So I think this lines up very well for the Giants this week.
I'm crossing my fingers. I'm actually going. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to letting the dogs go crazy. And, you know, I'm even contemplating picking up this Giants defense for my fantasy league.
Well, there you go, Mike.
Hey, we'll tell you if you did a good job with that next week.
Yeah, we will. Thanks for the call, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
take it
welcome.
Easy. 201-939-4513. It's funny, we haven't talked much about this Falcon defense, Jeff. And it has struggled this year, too, especially their rush defense. They've really had issues stopping the run. The Vikings put up 200 yards rushing on them last week in that Falcons loss to Minnesota. So I would think this is a perfect game to go back to that ground-and-pound, ball-control, time-of-possession formula for the Giants.
Well, you go back to the Arizona game, and look how well the offense for the Giants ran the football.
And
179
Houston as well.
Yards rushing for
that was
for
against
Jenny.
Houston. That was Houston.
Against Houston, excuse me. But I think that then you go to that short week against Washington. Mm-hmm. They mix it up a little bit with Andre Williams and Jennings. And now you get a whole 10 days off, a healthy team, a more you know, Jennings is feeling better, give the ball to him again. Get that running game, because that running game, as we all know, and this offense sets up for this passing game. If you can run the football and the offensive line has shown that they can block and they can run block and get some yards for and Jennings, it can be really good for this defense that they're going up against this week against the Falcons, who give up a lot of rushing.
And I want to get technical for the people in a second. We'll get back to your calls in just a second, I promise, at 201-939-4513. But the reason the run game is so important, folks, you see how the type of passes Eli throws. Little short crosses, little slants, things over the middle, things to the running back out of the backfield. Well, if the linebackers don't get sucked in to play the run, and they're sitting in the middle of the field, those plays aren't open.
Yeah, in fact, those plays aren't open. And if they're trying to force the ball, which I think they probably will because they like to throw the ball, we could get some picks.
Yeah, or the receivers get lit up after they catch the ball.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think that, you know, to me, this defense, I think you would think going into this game, let's just kind of call it, all right, where would we look at if this team was on even soil here? They didn't have the injuries and this and that. Defensively, for the Giants, they have to stop the passing attack for this team, okay? Well, they're hindered because of this offensive line. So now they're going to try to do something a little bit different, and that's going to be short passes. So press coverage on the cornerbacks and linebackers not biting up on that play action. Or, you know what we're talking about? If the defensive line can just do a good job, they're going to be okay. And I'd like to see these linebackers. Jaquan Williams is due. He is due for a pick. And, you know, this secondary did such a nice job the last couple of weeks and getting turnovers. And this Giants football team, if you know, they play so well when they get turnovers and they play well when they have a lead. We've seen what's happened in these games. So it kind of goes hand in hand together. They get a lead. These teams got to start throwing the football. And then the defense is getting turnovers and interceptions. And, you know, Jermaine McBride has been a nice addition.
He's played great, huh?
Absolutely. You know, a guy that started for the Giants last year, and now he comes in as, you know, he was going to be a slot cover guy. Now he's playing nickel. He's done such a good job of coming in there. I know Perry Fuel is happy with him. And, listen, he's a good player. He's smart. And those are the kind of guys that Perry Fuel likes to have on the field. Smart, smart players that won't get you in trouble.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the very busy phones and say hello to Andrew Dan of Virginia. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, bud. Everything's going well.
I'm wondering about this linebacking core a little bit more. Is it possible that we can see either a bigger nickel package? Or, you know, what are they thinking? I know that the running game for the Falcons, as you laid out beautifully again, by the way, John, you know, they don't run it a whole lot, but when they do, they're pretty explosive.
Yeah.
If we play more nickel, is that going to sort of expose, you know, the undersized guys and stopping the run there? But they're going to play Quiz a lot, and he's that scat back kind of back that really crushed us with Washington. You know, what are we going to do here? You know, we're not seeing enough from our linebackers as it is. That's our one weak link, I think, on defense. So what are the Giants doing this week in practice to sort of address this?
Well,
are
Andrew,
I
would imagine they'll play their typical nickel package where they have John Beeson and Jaquan Williams at linebacker. They have Beeson in there to do a good job against the run, and Jaquan Williams is there to cover a guy like Rodgers out of the backfield or cover a tight end down the field. By the way, the Falcons don't really utilize their tight end much, so I think Williams will get assigned more to running backs than he probably will be to tight ends in this particular game. But I think you'll see your typical nickel package. You'll see Dempsey Roll playing center field. Jermaine McBride's a very feisty player. He's good at stopping the run out of the slot. So I think that's what you're going to see. I don't think you're going to see a varied or different type of lineup. And as usual, you'll see rotating defensive linemen that try to keep him fresh to go after the quarterback.
And really, it all comes down to discipline at those linebackers. You know, you saw against Washington how the linebackers were getting sucked in the middle, and you saw that, you know, Morris going out on the outside, and they just dumped that ball out to him, and he was getting a lot of yards after the catch. They've got to be able to get off of their blocks and not get suckered in on the play-action pass and just be disciplined. You know, they have that what's Perry Fuel calls when he brings in the three
NASCAR
safeties.
NASCAR package, the pass rush package. I think the three safeties, the Bison package.
The
he
Bison
calls it?
Package.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, you might see some of that, but you know, really, it's just we're not gonna know until we see it, because Perry Fuel's never gonna tell us any information about that. He's just gonna tell you how well the guys are playing, and I think if Kennard, I don't know if Kennard is going to get on the field this weekend.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's a good matchup for him.
But I just think that, you know, we just saw with Odell Beckham how a hamstring can hinder somebody for so long.
Yeah.
you know, let this young kid. This guy's got a lot of upside, and he can help this defense. You sure would hate to see him come into this game and get hurt again and then set him back.
I love what was said this week about Beeson, about the film. Hey, we got a film room meeting at 7:30.
Yeah.
Come on in, play or not. I love what was said about Bowman. I love what was said about McBride, kind of taking a demotion in a way and then, you know, coming out and playing hard and proving, earning, you know, more playing time. I think that we do need to still lead with the defense here. The offense is clearly progressing. It's taking care of itself. And,
yeah,
you know, Cruz and Randall have clearly answered the bell. But at the same time, you know, we need to shore this defense up even further. We need to get more pressure, and we need to take it to Matty Ice.
Well,
because they're still angry, I bet you, even though they torched us last time around, they still remember that 2011 playoff game.
Sure, why not?
All right, Andrew, thanks for the call, my friend.
I know Perry.
Have a good weekend. Let's go, Blue.
Appreciate it.
I know Perry Fuel remembers the 2012, or was it last year that they got shellacked?
Was that last year?
2012.
I think it was 2 years ago, right? Yeah,
yeah,
he actually mentioned it the other day. I was going to cut that sound today. I didn't have any time. He basically says, yeah, I remember these guys. They whooped our butts 2 years ago and put 40 points up on us.
And he made a good point about, you know, this defense, if we went and went down to every position, this is a veteran defense.
Yeah.
You think about it, okay? And, you know, you got a couple of young guys in there, you know, Hankins and whatever. But the fact is that this is a defense that has a lot of veterans, a lot of leadership. We see the leadership come from Montrell Roll, and Beeson and JPP. But there's other guys there that have been on other teams to see leaders and how they led and led by example. And this is what makes a team so good is when you have leaders on your football team that can get guys to come into the meetings before it happens in the regular. Like if there's a 7:45 meeting that they're in at 7, they get 45 minutes of a little bit of individual time, just the players. And sometimes afterwards, that goes a long ways in the locker room, guys. I'm just telling you, I've been there for many, many years and seen how it can put a team together. And once you start winning, and you get those leaders to have everybody buying into what's going on, this thing could just take off for them.
201-939-4503. Going to go to line two and say hello to Dre in Atlanta, Georgia next. He's been holding the longest. Dre, what's going on?
Hi, Dre.
What's going on? Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Dre. What's up?
All right. Well, I'm going to keep it real simple. Offensive line, they just need to block. To take Eli, give him that pocket is good. My concentration is on the defense. Whereas, what's the best way to stifle a pass rush? Quick screens and quick passes.
Yep.
Atlanta likes to use Julio Jones for a lot of wide receiver screens.
Yeah, in fact, Dre, real quick, he's actually been targeted and caught. Let me see. I actually had the exact number here so far this year. They've thrown six quick screens already to Julio Jones through the first three games of the year. So they'll throw it to him about twice a game.
Right.
It seems
you know, and
that.
If it works, they'll come back. And that's where our linebackers have to be disciplined and be able to – and that's when – Prince has to be aggressive on the line because I don't believe Harry Douglas is going to be playing, so they might have Eric Weems starting.
Yeah.
So we just have to be disciplined, and you know, in the first couple of games, our defense had a problem of doing too much, and Kiwi has a knack of going inside and not containing the quarterback. So I can see a lot of swings. So Kiwi will definitely have to be more disciplined. Just want to go ahead and touch on that. Yeah, have a good one. Thanks.
All right, Jerry, appreciate the call. You know what? I think Kiwi's actually played better this year. I thought Kiwi had a down year last year.
Yeah.
I think Kiwanuka's played a lot better this year. He's gotten some more pressure on the quarterback. More importantly, though, Jeff, I think he's been a lot better against the run. Both Giants defensive ends this year, Jason Pierre-Paul and Matthias Kiwanuka, the sack numbers might not be off the charts, but I think their run defense has been fantastic.
I agree with you, and I also believe that they're getting to the quarterback, and maybe not the sacks. They're getting the hits on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We saw a huge play out of Kiwi last week in that strip fumble. That I think just it jump-start the Giants last week against the Redskins on that fumble. That was
a
big play.
And that really set the stage, and I think
Absolutely.
Kirk Cousins was uncomfortable the rest of the game. He had gone, and Paul Dottino had the stat last week, it was a great one. He had gone 48 pass attempts, I think it was, against Philly the week before. He didn't get knocked down once.
That's
so
crazy.
First quarter.
48 dropbacks.
He gets hit right in his grill, stripped by Kiwanuka. And I think it messed with the young man's head a little bit.
Why it has to. And then you get a strip fumble, and the next thing you know, he's throwing five picks, and the Giants are on their way to their, you know, to a great win.
Yeah, we were talking about game balls last week, and our web guys get game balls from each one of our writers. I'm always the last guy. So they talk to Dan Salmon, they talk to Michael Eisen, they talk to Bob Papa. I'm the last guy. So I'm like, well, how about Jermaine Gupard? No, somebody use him already. Oh, somebody use this guy already. So I'm like, all right, well, let me think for a second. You know what? I'm going to give Kiwanuka the game ball because of that.
There you go.
Strip
that first
sack,
one.
And it set the stage for Cousins having a bad game.
And he's been consistent this year. You know, where I know at the beginning of the year we were hearing some people saying that, oh, you know, Kiwi's not playing well, but you know, it's just a lot of times there's schemes that they're going against him, and but I think he's not your every down player, but the fact is that he can come in and get you a sack and put some pressure on that quarterback. I think the JPP is on the verge of something soon. I really do.
He has been very active. He's just not getting there.
It's just he hasn't been able to finish.
Yeah.
But that's what he's been doing is okay. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean the fact that he's almost there where those sacks are going to start coming. Those hits on the quarterback, those quarterbacks hold on to the ball just a split second longer. Those become sacks rather than completions or incompletions.
Here we go. I got a couple good numbers here from our buddy Carl Martinez on Twitter. He does a good job with these. Last time the Giants were over 500, his exact date, December 30th, 2012. That was, I believe, when they finished that year, 9-7. So you have that. Or were they 8-8 in 2012? I'm trying to remember.
Don't know.
I got to look that up. I'm not sure. That might have been the day before they finished the season 8-8. I think they were 8-8 in 2012. I'll have to double-check that number for you. Let's see what else do we got. We got a couple good ones here. Last time the Falcons won an outdoors game with no roof was November 25th, 2012 against Tampa Bay. I think they've lost 9 straight road games
that's
outdoors. So that's another number. And one other thing, too, that not a lot of people have talked about this. The Falcons have actually done a good job of turning opposing teams over. They're -3 on the year, which isn't great. They have 10 turnovers on offense, but they have done a pretty good job taking the ball away. They have a sack or an interception on every 27 pass attempts by the opponents through 4 games. So they'll try to be disruptive. But much like the Giants, though JPP could become that guy, they don't have that individual player in that front seven.
Sure.
You have to really game plan against and say, you know what, we got to put 2 blockers on this guy. We got to make sure we know where J.J. Watt is at all times. They don't have that one guy. They try to do it more with the scheme and rotating guys in and out.
And getting guys, they're fresh to come through in there. I mean, you get O.C., who I think, you know, he has the potential to be dangerous, but he's not in there every single play. He's going to be in there in your second, third
20,
down stuff.
25 snaps at most.
You know, but that can really game plan well into the offense for the Giants. I really think that they're going to try to run the football.
Yeah.
Why? You know, if you can run the football, John, this team can run. It's just possession, time off the clock, okay, and really it sets up for the pass. And I think going into this game, I agree with you. You said it earlier. I think their game plan is to come in here and run the football, but can maybe just get a very balanced way of offense. You know, maybe get 40 runs and 40 passes. That's a lot of plays. But the fact is that somewhere in there just to keep balanced.
And the Falcons also don't have a very experienced or, frankly, a great linebacking core either. They lost Sean Weatherspoon for the year in the offseason, which was their best linebacker. He's not there. I mean,
and their safeties.
They already lost Moore for the year. Ishmael, the other guy, has been injured. So their safeties aren't very good. They have some pretty good young cornerbacks now. Robert McClain, Robert Alford, and Desmond Trufant. They're young guys, but they can play. They're pretty good. They're not top-notch, you know, best cornerback group in the league, but they know what they're doing. But that safety spot and that linebacker spot, it's a little weak, which means the middle of the field could be open for the Giants on
Sunday.
And
you look at this Atlanta team, what they did last year. You know, they were horrible
last year.
And so, and all of a sudden now we're talking about the number one offense in the National Football League, you know, and now they get decimated by injuries. You just don't turn over a roster and come in and be a horrible team like last year and then all of a sudden be the best team. And so the Giants have a great chance to win this football game on Sunday, and I think that most people are picking them.
And, you know, they have a great defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan. He's done in this league for a long time, but he just doesn't have the weapons right now on that side of the ball.
And whenever you don't have the weapons, we all know that. When you don't have the personnel, you don't win games.
Doesn't matter who your coach
is. I don't care who your coach is. You got to have players.
No question about it. It's funny. In the offseason, the Falcons basically said, we need to fix our offensive line. We need to fix our defense.
Well,
Week five, what are the problems? The offensive line and the defense.
Well, they did fix their offensive line. In fact, that now they just got wiped out. So it's like a bowling ball just went through and just took them all out of there.
The best laid plans, Jeff. The best laid plans.
Man, I'll tell you. But that's, you know what, like JPP said, that's not our problem.
No.
And he's 100% right. It's not their problem. Their problem is – their own problem, their problem is for the Giants is just get another win. That's what they got to do, and they need it to get over that 500 mark and that confidence level to just keep going.
Let's go to Len in Maryland next at 201-939-4513. Leonard, thank you for holding, my friend, or will you be up here for this game on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. What time do the gates open? I can't wait to get there.
You know, that's a great question. I think the gates open, 2 hours before
11.
Game time?
Yeah, 11. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the parking lot opens 5 hours before the
game.
That
is correct.
And then, Yeah, 2 hours. So, you know, you got to get there early if you're going to do the the tailgating part. Yeah, looking forward to it. Wouldn't miss this.
I got an early
season 1 o'clock game. For season ticket holders, it does not get any better
than that. Yeah, Len, 1 second. I want you to break down the Len from Maryland tailgate for me. What do you got? What are you grilling? Who's there?
What are you hauling? You're bringing a trailer. What are you doing?
we're going to bring some sandwiches along, but we're going to hook up with somebody in another lot. Park the car, hook up with somebody in another lot, and, there'll be sausage and peppers, and sometimes it goes all the way to, it starts with breakfast.
Len's smart. Good. He doesn't put the effort in. He lets somebody else do all the work to cook the food.
We're
going to
hook up with somebody else. Do you actually know the
John,
people you're hooking up with? Or
he's going to mooch.
John, I'm the senior guy, and I'm the season ticket holder. They got my tickets. Of course they cater.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, then, Len? You win. I take it back. You make those guys do whatever you want.
That's right.
That's all you, my friend.
You're holding the tickets. You got it going.
What do you got on the game for me, Len?
Great to talk to you. Looking forward to the game.
Yeah.
I'm hoping at about 4:05 on Sunday afternoon we're 3-2. Listen, too much emphasis on the injuries.
Sure.
You know,
I agree.
The injuries that the Falcons have, it's a fact, okay? But if you're Jonathan Hankins, Kiwi, the linebackers, whoever you happen to be, just beat the guy in front of you. Don't worry about whether he's second string. The Falcons are still paying these guys, aren't they?
Sure.
I mean, these guys aren't working for free.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more.
These are professional football players. These are men who understand what their job is.
Well,
and the Giants have to deal with the guy in front of them. I think there's too much emphasis on the injuries. I don't know. Jeff, you can help me with this. I'm not a former professional football player, so I have to admit that at the start. But help me with this.
By the way, you should be very flattered.
You don't game plan around the injuries unless it's the quarterback.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again?
John
was giving me a compliment.
I don't think, and this may be a bit naive, Jeff, but I don't think you game plan around injuries unless it's the quarterback.
No, there's no question. You cannot sit there and now I will disagree with you in a sense that these guys are getting paid. I agree with you there, but there's a reason why that this James Stone guy comes up from the practice squad. There's a reason why these guys are playing behind the guys that got hurt.
They're not as good.
Okay, they're not as good. But they're still professional football players.
There
they still are getting paid, okay? But the talent level is just a little bit below what they're going to be going against on the other side, okay? So it all comes down to what you said. Win your one-on-one matchups. Win against the guy across from you. Win. That's all you got to do, and everything else will take care of it.
That's what I'm looking for. Hey, listen, I know you've referred to this and hinted at it and so forth, but I don't think you've used this word in the conversation about the Falcons today. You know, they love the screen pass. This offensive coordinator loves the screen pass.
Yes, he does.
If you look at the stats on Atlanta, all of their running backs, there's five of them. I don't know whether they'll activate all five, but all of their running backs can catch and do something with the ball when they got it in their hand.
Yep.
They've got 25 receptions amongst the running backs. That's a lot of receptions. And I think we got to watch out for that screen pass. I know the wideouts are great, and even this little guy Weems, once he gets his hands on the ball, he can run, is going to be dangerous. And Harry Douglas, again, if he's healthy.
Hey, well, Len, it's funny.
But watch the screen pass, guys. Watch the
screen
pass.
Yeah, Len, it's funny. And that's why I said I would rush with my front four this week. Don't blitz, because if you blitz too much, they will get you with those screen passes. That's why I think with that banged-up offensive line, you could win with the front four, Jeff.
And you know what? What sets up a screen pass, right? Let's just go through this here. We're an offensive lineman. You're a defensive lineman. I'm an offensive lineman. We're going to run the screen. What am I going to try to do for you? I'm going to try to let you get past me a little bit, right, to set that screen up. What a great excuse. This line is horrible. Oh, they got by me. Whoop! There goes the screen pass. So
they could
trick them in a little bit because of their talent level. But I think that the other one is to get the wide receiver screen, which we're seeing a lot of this in the National Football League. These guys are just good playmakers out there. Get the ball in the playmakers' hands.
Yeah, Len. And one other thing, real quick. Think of it this way too, though, from the Atlanta Falcons' perspective. A good screen pass requires a lot of coordination and timing among the offensive linemen. So maybe that's not going to be there for the Falcons since these guys are all new.
Listen, one more thing.
Yeah.
How can the Falcons not be tight end oriented with our old friend Bear Pascoe playing tight end?
I'll tell you
what.
Good,
Hey, listen, good for Bear. I'm glad he found work in the NFL. Totally.
He was one of, I tell you, just what a tough dude.
And a great guy,
and
too.
And a great guy, a hard worker. You know, and it just shows you that if you can play, and if it's not on this team, he can go play somewhere else, and we're happy for him, too.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, let's go Giants.
Yep, have a nice trip up. Be careful.
Okay, man.
Thanks, bye-bye. You know, Bear's one of those guys that I call farm strong. You know,
he's definitely farm strong.
He's not weight room strong.
Yeah.
He's just farm strong.
He's just born strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's just a nice guy. For those that don't know him, or, you know, we've obviously have got to get to know him pretty well over the years, but just a hard worker. You know, he's one of those guys, he'll come to work every single day. Yeah. He'll do exactly what you want him to do. He'll go on the field and give you 110%. And his 110% may not be as good as all the other top tight ends in the league. But he gets the job done, and he just, you know, unfortunately it didn't fit what they wanted to do here, and they got Larry Donnell now.
And by the way, he's fitting in pretty damn well.
Woo.
And Ben McAdoo talked about Larry Donnell yesterday.
In camp, you know, early on,
how about that?
And be able to make some plays down the field, you know, be precise with some of the short to intermediate things, and then stick his pads in there and stick his nose in there blocking. And that's the biggest thing for, you know, for the athletic tight end to be able to get the matchups you're looking for, they need to be effective blockers. Once they lose that, then they lose a lot of their value. So we need to make sure it's important, you know, for all of our tight ends to be effective blockers.
And you know what's got me even more excited about Larry Donnell? Jeff, people talk about the touchdowns, using his height, his good hands, playmaking, and that's all important. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. I've seen him improve as a blocker every week. He's gotten better every week. Honestly, in preseason, first week of the year, he was pretty bad. He was not a good blocker. He's held his own. You're not going to expect a guy that's long and thin.
That's why they had Fells here.
To push people off the line and to dominate and be a road grader. But he's positional blocking the way Kevin Boss used to, and he's getting the job done.
I was talking to Jesse Armstead last night. We had a thing over here at the stadium, and I asked him specifically, what does Larry Donnell need to do to get better at blocking? And he told me, he said, Jeff, he doesn't really have to be that guy, like you said. It's got to lock up guys and just drive them to the ground. It's position.
Yeah.
Just position yourself
leverage,
on a linebacker.
Angles, all that
and
stuff.
If the play's going one way, get in front of that linebacker so the guy can't get around him. He's 6'6 and 260. Okay? It's hard to get on a guy. Okay? So that's what Jesse was saying. The thing that I love about Larry Donnell is that you could tell this guy is so raw. I mean, he's in the National Football League. He's the fantasy tight end of the world right now and this and that. He has no idea how good he can be. And the fact that he's just so humbled at it, I love it. And here's the other thing. He scored 3 times against Washington against 3 different positional players. A safety.
That's a good point.
A corner.
I didn't think about that.
Okay. And a linebacker. So they're lining him up everywhere, and in this offense it can be complicated for a guy like him. He lines up in the backfield, he lines up in slot, he lines up in the outside, he lines up on the line. Kudos to him. He's doing a great job.
You know, Jeff, I always make this joke, and we used to get a ton of calls on this show the last couple of years about Ramsey's Barden. Why don't the Giants use him in the red zone?
Okay, I know
where
you're going.
He's a big guy, all this stuff, and here's the difference. Larry Donnell knows how to use his 6'7 frame. Ramsey's Barden might have been 6'6". He didn't play like he was 6'6", but Larry Donnell plays like he's 6'7", and he knows how to use it.
And we always were sitting there, and I don't think we're alone in this. We were always thinking to ourselves, hey, this guy is like – he's like Plaxico Burress size. Okay, where's the physicality? Where does this come in with this guy? We never saw it.
No.
We never saw
never
it,
saw
but
it.
We're seeing it in Larry Donnell, that's for sure. Donnell.
Donnell.
Right? That's his name.
You got it.
Man,
see, good job, Jeff.
I got that one down. It's it's the ones that everybody gets mixed up with, I get right. And the ones that everybody doesn't get mixed up with, I get wrong. So, whatever.
I'm just happy we're not playing over, under, or fact and fiction so you could botch the rules like you do every day.
I do. I know. But you know what? It just keeps the program running. And it keeps, it's exciting.
Anytime we can take shots at Jeff Fields, we're always in favor of that anyway. So
part of the time I mess up names is just to make sure that John and Paul are listening to me.
Sure.
And they are. They are. So, I got to stop doing that.
Yeah. 201-939-4513. Ryan's in Delaware. Ryan, thanks for calling in, bud.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well.
It's hot. It's hot in here. I can tell you that. I mean, but other than
and
that,
if you can see, probably our faces have turned progressively more red
because we have
as
a huge spotlight here and they're trying to save some energy bills. I mean, get some air, please.
See, that's why I told you to wear the polo. You got the pullover, and it's killing
you,
isn't it?
It's sweating. I'm not even have to work out today. I'm gonna sweat. What's going on?
I'm just in college at Delaware. I've been a Giants fan for a long time, and I'm really excited that they're playing well again.
Good for you. You got to fight off all those Eagle fans down there, right?
Oh, yeah. Next week is going to be a grind to finish.
It is,
sure.
No doubt about it. Ryan, what do you think about the game this weekend?
I'm very excited about it, and one thing I really want to pay attention to one of the Giants' game plans is to stop the Falcons' wide receivers. They are the most explosive part of a very dynamic offense, and the Giants' defense has played well lately. I want to see how the secondary plans on stopping them.
Well, we talked a little bit about it earlier. I don't know if you had listened, but we got to me, we got to play a lot of man coverage and just really get on the line of scrimmage and be physical with these guys, because the Atlanta Falcons are going to be trying to get the ball out of Matty Ice's hands quick because of that offensive line. Okay, and then if for some reason they do complete the pass, we got to have good discipline tackling and don't give up the big play over the top, because we know what Roddy White and these guys can do, and Devin Hester. I don't know. I'm not a defensive coordinator. We're just supposed to talk about the game, but I just think you at the line of scrimmage, you just don't let these guys get off.
Yeah, and to me, honestly, I leave a safety over the top on Julio Jones the entire game. And you know what? If Harry Douglas, if he even plays, he beats me, I tip my cap. If Eric Weems beats me, I tip my cap. If a one-hamstringed, Roddy White beats me, I tip my cap. I do not let Julio Jones catch the ball down the field. Look, he's too big to stop from catching those slants. He's going to catch a slant.
Absolutely.
He's going to catch a slant. He's going to run the corner off and catch a couple of 15-yard outs, and that's okay. You're not going to be able to stop that. But do not let him catch that 80-yard post over the middle. Keep that safety over the top. Make somebody else beat you.
And not only that, we also need the pass rush to make Matt Ryan feel some pressure to make sure he makes some erratic throws.
Well, I agree 100%.
Listen,
they're the decimated offensive line. This is a huge opportunity for JPP, Robert Ayers, Matthias Kiwanuka, and the rest of the unit to really rack up some sacks on Sunday.
I like the interior of the line. I think Hankins and Jennings can get out there and do – and Jenkins.
And also Mike Patterson off the bench.
Absolutely. I think interiorly they can get some pressure and get some sacks this week.
Yep, I agree.
Appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, thank you.
201-939-4513. Ryan in New Jersey is next. Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan.
Oh, how's it going?
Doing well.
Good. I was thinking, what do you guys think of, since Jeter's gone, now Eli is the biggest, star in New York, and do you agree with that?
You know what? I haven't thought about it. Well, he's certainly the longest tenured star in New York, that's for sure. I think there'd be, honestly, if you want to just go by, facial recognition, star status, and Q rating, I think Eli and Carmelo are probably very, very close to one another.
Yeah, I would say Carmelo, though, but he hasn't really won anything.
Well, right, and that's why I think I'd give Eli the edge. I'm just thinking about this now. But I think those are your two guys right now that are the big stars in town. And I think right now, I think two Super Bowls, he's been here the longest, I think it's Eli.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, you got Carmelo is obviously Carmelo, but I think Eli accomplishment in the area, you got to give it to him because of that.
Yeah, good. And then another question about the game. What do you think about the Giants' offensive line? Do you think they're going to have another dominating performance?
I don't know if you want to use the word dominating. I don't think this offensive line.
Yeah, that's how they've been playing. So
but I don't think they have to dominate anything. I just think they have to control the line of scrimmage and be physical and just use that zone blocking scheme to get the running game going.
You know, Ryan, quite frankly, I think they were dominating in that one game against Houston. Otherwise, in terms of running the ball, they've been solid.
Consistent.
And here's the thing. They've kept guys off of Eli, and that's a good thing, but Pro Football Focus at a stat they put out there in their advanced statistics. Eli Manning has the shortest time between snap and pass than any other quarterback in the league besides his brother. So I think this system and the game plan has also made this offensive line look really good, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not complaining about this, mind you. But Eli's getting rid of the ball quick, which is making the offensive line's job a little bit easier.
And the offensive line would rather run block than pass block. Any offensive line will tell you that, okay? And if your quarterback's getting out in 2.5 seconds and they only have to pass block for 2.05 seconds,
I mean, basically,
it's okay.
All that is one move by a defensive lineman. If you stop the initial move, you're going to be fine.
Exactly. So, good question.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call, bud.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, it's funny, and Rashad Jennings talked about this in the locker room the other day. He mentioned how knowing who's in front of him on the offensive line for him as a running back, and even talked about in terms of pass protection for, you know, blocking calls for blitzes and stuff. The talent is great, but now that these guys have worked together for a while, it makes the sum of the unit better than the parts.
And I think that because they're working together from a running back perspective, right, Jennings can understand a little bit of the body language of these guys.
Yeah, no question.
And as a running back, sometimes you can set up a linebacker or a defender by, you know, knowing how what the lineman's doing and being able to get through. And that's important. It all just goes with chemistry. We talk about chemistry all the time. That's just working together as a unit and being able to be lucky enough to have guys that are healthy to play together as these guys have.
Yeah, Jennings actually said, he goes, look, I know where these guys are going to go. I know how to set up their blocks. And he said it's a huge help. Final call of the show. Let's go to JD down in North Carolina. JD, you're up next. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, JD.
So I wanted to talk about the difference in concepts and theories between the old offense and the new offense and why, you know, this one's working and why everybody should kind of be excited about what this is, what we got. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is basically the passing offense under Gilbride, the receivers would run out and they would have to make a decision based on the coverage. Eli would know what their decision, you know, what their options were, and then based on that, you know, he would anticipate their decision and throw the ball where their receiver was supposed to go.
Basically, that's correct, yes.
And that made a lot of sense, and it obviously worked. They had a lot of success with it, especially with a young quarterback when Eli was coming into the league. You don't want to put all the decision-making on his shoulders. You got some veteran receivers. You know, you can have them out there, you know, helping him out. Now, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that Eli's probably got the highest football acumen of any player on the field, you know, 9 out of 10 days.
No question.
So you want him being the guy that's, you know, making the decisions as far as where the ball's going. So in this offense, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the onus has kind of been taken off the receivers, and they're more or less, you know, aside from doing a side adjustment here and there, they're going to run their predetermined route, and it's really almost 100% on Eli to make the decision as far as where the ball's going. And I think that's exactly what you want when you have a quarterback like Eli Manning. You want to make the chess match be Eli versus the defense, because that's a great matchup. Any day of the week. I just want to get your guys' opinions on
that. Yeah, JG, I think your larger point is right on. Just to go into the weeds a little bit, even on the Gilbride system, Eli, as a young player, still had to make those big decisions, too. So it's something he's done for a while, because it was actually tougher because him and the receiver have to make the right decision at the same time.
And that's why you see interceptions. Right. When you see interceptions, that's usually the breakdown.
But you're right. He is probably one of the two or three smartest guys in the league. One of his greatest strengths as a quarterback is making those adjustments, making pre-snap reads. But you're right. The wide receiver and the quarterback now will make most of their decisions pre-snap based on coverage. So they'll break the huddle with the play, and the play will say something like, well, if they're playing a cover three, then you run the 15-yard comeback. But if they're in the, you know, if they're in their tight man, maybe you do the out and up or something like that. So they will adjust based on cover, but you're right. You don't have those adjustments in the middle of the play where Eli has to read the receiver's body language and then make a throw based on that decision.
And part of it is, in the old Gilbride system, these guys are making – a lot of times making decisions down the field as they're going.
Oh, split second. It's
okay, so, and then now you're talking about a progression of Eli, the wide receiver, the coverage, and the throw. So now in this system, it's really a 1-2-3 read for Eli. Okay, he knows exactly what all those receivers are doing. They don't really care. There are some side adjustments like you had said, but they're running the routes, and then it's up to Eli to get the ball out of there quickly and, one, get his first and second reads quickly, and if those aren't there, then you know you got your little outlet.
And you mentioned it correctly, Jeff and JD. I will let you finish, but it's the footwork. It's on the way this offense works is that Eli, whether it's a 3-step drop, 5-step drop, or 7-step drop, he is a progression. And on that third step, his first look, if the guy's there, he throws it. If the guy's not there, there's no waiting for him to get open.
No, it's
you
a quick,
immediately
you're going to two.
Go to the next guy, and if he's open, you make the throw right away.
And then that third one, or your whatever step you're in, your foot's in the ground and you throw him. We all know this.
Yep.
Eli throws much better off his, you know, when he's got that back foot planted and throwing.
Correct.
When he's on that back foot, we get the flutter, you get the this and that. And
JD, that's pointed, when he drops back, there's no sitting back there holding the ball waiting for guys to get open. It's progression, no, progression, no, progression, yes, throw the football. It happens that quickly, and that's also another big change, which also, I think you made a good point. I hadn't thought about this. maybe that is helping Eli's mechanics a little bit, because he's not back there moving his body around waiting. The fact that he just plants and goes, maybe it's preventing some of that back foot stuff that he's had trouble with in the past.
I agree. I think that's why we've heard Ben McAdoo, as he's gone through in this institution of this new offense, we've heard bits and pieces of Ben McAdoo saying, I was impressed with Eli's footwork. I was impressed
always
with the
about
weight.
The feet.
But everybody was sitting there going, well, really? I mean, in the preseason, we're not seeing anything offensively. Yeah. But he knew that as soon as he could get this footwork down in this system, he's seen it up at Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, how he throws the football with his footwork. He's going to see it in Eli, and he's starting to develop that, and that's working very well. And I'll tell you, once Eli gets comfortable, you've seen some of the passes. He threw vintage Eli passes last game against Washington, just putting them right where they have to be. And that comes from confidence.
Ruben Randall.
Oh, it was a beautiful pass.
And that's,
and you just like to see that because he's throwing with confidence. He's throwing on that, you know, he's got that foot coming forward, the body coming forward, rather than doing the old thing that we used to see, and it's just the flutter pass. And so he's doing well. I think you can see his confidence. You see how the way he talks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And listen, that's anybody for that matter. You and I. I mean, if we're horrible at golf one day, we're not going to be happy. But if we shoot under par the next day, we're going to be really happy.
And Fields is a tremendous golfer, by
yeah,
the way.
But
JD, finish up, man. What do you got?
I mean, you guys pretty much hit on all the points. I think that is the reason for a lot of the success of the offense. Like you said, Eli's not waiting on other people to make decisions anymore. You know, he's got the whole play out in front of him, and it's basically going to be, like you said, go through your progressions, boom, 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 and the ball is getting out so fast. And I think this is probably one of the things, like you were saying, that McAdoo was really excited about that he was seeing in preseason that maybe we didn't see,
sure,
was how efficiently he was, you know, running these plays and how quickly his decision-making was, and not only that, how good his decision-making was. And I think it's really translating in this new offense. Thanks for your opinion, guys.
Thanks, JD. Appreciate you calling in.
Have
and,
a
you
good
know,
one.
I figured we'd get a call about this, so I didn't talk about it off the top of the show. But
we never got it, yeah.
Devin Hester.
Yeah, we got to talk about him.
A huge weapon for the Falcons, not only as a receiver, but obviously probably the most accomplished kick and punt returner maybe in the history of the league. You're Jeff Eagles. You're punting. You're back in the league. Steve Weatherford re-injured his ankle. You're back on the field this Sunday.
And I'm going against Hester?
After you
Damn.
Say your prayers.
Yeah, no, go to bath.
Then what do you do as a punter? What do you guys do as a special teams unit to try to control someone like Devin Hester?
Well, I think that Steve Weatherford, or if it was me, at the level that they are, and he's an 8-year veteran, I think, whatever it is, you can put it on him. Okay, you know what? Listen, we're going to go into this game. I do not want the ball in his hands. All right? Either kick that Aussie kick and that he does on the inside the 21, you know, kick it 40 yards in the air, have him fair catch it, or I would just kick it out of bounds. I don't care. And Coach Coughlin used to tell me all the time, I don't care if it's 35 yards out of bounds. I don't care. Do not let the guy touch the ball.
And distance doesn't matter
no,
here, right?
No, just leave it away.
I mean, honestly, the last thing you want here is a 60-yard punt in the air in the middle of the field.
You got a gun to your head.
Yeah.
You got a gun to your head because I'm telling you, I know that I couldn't make many tackles in my career. I don't think I made any, really. But the fact is I couldn't comprehend kicking the ball 60 yards at Devin Hester. You just can't do it. And listen, so now we talk about the punting position. Now we talk about the other 10 guys that got to go down there. This is where we talk of special teams discipline. You have got to stay in your lane, and you've got to break down and don't get suckered in by his moves because he can reverse the field and peel back, and he's gone.
You got to stay in your lane.
He is gone. Now, kickoffs, I think, you know, these days they're not as crazy because they can kick him out of the end zone. But on punts, punt returns, you're going to have to get the ball away from
and,
him.
And if you don't kick it out of bounds, how important is it to get it outside the hash mark, outside the numbers?
The numbers.
How does that help?
You have to. It helps because of the way the guys can corner in their coverage. Mm-hmm. You kick the ball in the middle of the field, he has a three-way go. Middle, right, and left. Kick it to the corner, he's only got a one way. He's got to go that way, up the sideline, because he can't go outside because that's where his coverage is
coming. And there's
so
many guys coming from the middle.
Absolutely. So you eliminate his goes. I mean, he's down the middle of the field, or you match, as Tom said, I don't know if he said it in this, but it's you match the hang time with the distance. If you kick a 40-yard punt, that thing's got to be over four seconds. 4-5, 45 seconds.
Okay,
that's
interesting.
That's how you kind of match
the
thing. If you can match the distance with the hang time, you'll get the coverage.
There you go.
But you can't have a 60 because nobody kicks 6 seconds. You got to have, if you got a 60, you better get on your Honda. Just get down there, baby. Get on it because it's coming back.
Oh, man. Jeff, Good time.
Good job, Johnny.
Appreciate it.
And yep, of course, thanks for the calls, too.
You can, yeah, thanks to the calls. Thank you to the listeners. You can, of course, hear Jeff Fiegels, myself, Lance Meadow, and Paul Dottino on Coors Light Giants game day on Sports Radio 66, WFAN and 101.9 FM as well on Sunday at 11:30. We'll be out in the plaza near
yeah,
the
come
Met
see
Life
us,
gate.
Will you? We're not
come
getting
by,
enough people down
say
there.
Say hello. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on inside the stadium, but we promise we will entertain you. We even might give away some free stuff. So come
I mean,
by.
If anything, Paul will entertain us. Well, we're just looking at Paul, right?
Paul entertains everybody. Come down. We'll have a good time. Again, you can tune in 11:30. Our pregame starts on WFAN in New York City. Along our network, pregame show starts at noon. So make sure you check it out. For Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. Big Blue Kickoff Live returns on Monday at noon with myself and Lance Meadow as we recap Giants and Falcons. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Have a good one.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting on?